Yeah, over this past week, a few important issues really, because out of the United States we had some inflation data which was definitely on the high side of expectations. And if we're looking at the playbooks of the central banks at the moment, the way they're forecasting things, whether it's the US or whether it's here in Australia, is yes, we've got a temporary hill with inflation over the middle months of 2021. That's because we come off a low base going back to the middle of the recession last year. But it's going to dissipate and it won't be a particularly big hill. Now, the problem with that is we've had some data out of the United States which suggests that inflation hill is actually a bit bigger than they expected and could be a bit more permanent. Where I say a bit bigger, we had the April CPI came out, and it was a bit of a shock. We had a rise of 0.8% month on month for the month of April, and that was expected to be 0.2%, so it was four times market expectation. And it lifted the annual inflation rate in the United States from 2.6% year-on-year to 4.2%, which is certainly getting up there. The core CPI, too, was three times expectation. It was expected to be 0.3%. It came in at 0.9%, and that lifted the annual inflation rate from 1.6% to 3%. Incidentally, that 0.9% is the highest monthly core CPI reading since 1982. So that's a long time ago since we've had a core CPI, monthly core CPI reading that high. The rogue element in it, if there was one, is one we're familiar with here, and that is used car prices, which have been roaring in the United States because of demand. And so that was one of the key factors, but it's still an inflation factor. And where this hill in inflation, which according to central banks will be just that, it'll be a hill and then it comes off as you go down the other side of it when we've still got long-term disinflationary factors pulling things back. The problem with that analysis is that we had producer prices came out for the month of April, and this is pipeline inflation, and producer prices were also double market expectations month on month. So for April, producer price index in the United States was up 0.6%. It was expected to be 0.3%. That 0.6 followed a 1% the month before. So the annual rate of producer price inflation has accelerated to 6.2% from 4.2%. In core terms, taking out volatile food and energy, it was still high in 0.7% month on month. And the annual rate's gone up to 4.1% from 3.1%. So if you've got that in the pipeline, there's a risk that this hill is a bit more mountainous than the Fed's allowing. So this is where, from time to time, you would expect that bond market's going to get a bit edgy when we see this sort of data coming through now. We had some other data through the later part of the week. We had import prices. They too were high, up 0.7% after being up 1.4% the month before. We also had some retail sales data. Retail sales not quite up to expectations. They were flat for the month, but that was after the previous month was revised up from 9.7 to 10.7. So all told, over the 2 months, retail sales were quite strong. We also had consumer sentiment in the United States, and surprisingly, that came back a little bit. So it came back to 82.8 from 88.3. But all told, just watching this little bit of inflation fear that's starting to come in. And you'd expect that in some ways because the economy is picking up very, very strongly in the United States, and rather like here, is getting petrol poured on it, both from more fiscal spending and also, of course, from easy interest rates, which the Fed, rather like the Reserve Bank, is saying going to persist for quite some time yet. This week in the United States, a little bit of information coming through on lead indicators, both in the manufacturing sector, some of the regional ones, and also in the housing sector. So we have the May Empire State survey coming out tonight, and that's for New York State. This was very strong going back last month at plus 26.3. Should come back a little bit off that, but still going to be high at plus 23.9, the market thinks. Later in the week, we'll get the Philadelphia Fed survey. That was just outrageously high going back a month ago at 50, plus 50.2. the market's expecting that to come back perhaps to 43, so something still very, very high, but nothing like the exceptional readings that we saw before. On the housing side, we've got National Association of Home Builders Index, we've got April building permits, we've got April housing starts, and we've also got existing home sales. And the story for most of those is that they're holding up pretty well. The National Association of Home Builders Index is expected to stay at 83, same as the month before. April building permits, which rose 2.3% month on month in March, expected to add another 0.6 on top of that. Housing starts come back a little, but only because they rose 19.4% month on month going back to March. So, you know, a minor pullback on that of about 1.7% when you compare that with 19.4% up the month before. So they're effectively strong. And existing home sales are expected to rise about 2% in the month as well. Just coming through to China. China's the one exception with its headline CPI, and that its headline CPI is not rising fast yet. We had a rise of 0.9% year on year. That was up a bit from 0.4%. But producer prices, and this is a story all the way around the world, are really accelerating. And so producer prices lifted from 4.4% year on year to 6.8% year on year. So with that type of pressure, it's only a matter of time before their CPI starts to rise rather faster too. This week in China today, we get a lot of data out of China just around lunchtime today, and it includes things like April house prices. House prices are starting to accelerate. They're not as strongly rising as we're getting in places like Australia, New Zealand, UK, Canada, and the US, where, you know, in all those countries now we're really rising at almost double digits year on year, and in some countries higher than that. In the case of China, they're up 4.6% year on year. They'll probably be up about 5% year on year for the month of April. We've got their fixed asset investment spending still strong. It's starting to fade back. So going back to March, it was up 25.6% year on year, probably coming back to about 19. Industrial production, which has just been phenomenally strong, and going back to March, was up 14.1% year on year, just a bit of a fade on that to 9.8% year on year. And similarly so for retail sales, where they were rising 34.2% year on year, probably coming back to about 24.9%, but all of those are still very, very strong figures. And in Australia, of course, last week it was budget, and also we had a fair bit of data. Just looking at the data first, we had March retail sales and also Q1 retail sales. March retail sales rose by 1.3% in the final figures. In the preliminaries, they're up 1.4%, so still holding strong in the month of March. That was after being down 0.8% the month before. Real retail sales did come off a little bit for the quarter, for Q1, so they were down 0.5%, but that was following a 2.5% gain the quarter before. And by the time we translate that to household consumption expenditure, we know that there was quite a surge running through spending on services running through Q1. So household consumption expenditure, when we see that in the GDP numbers in June, is still going to be up because we'll have the services part, which will certainly more than compensate for that small pullback running through real retail sales. We had April NAB business conditions and business confidence, and these have gone to record highs. So the business community is now extraordinarily optimistic and is reporting extraordinarily strong conditions. So in terms of business conditions, it went from what was the previous record high of plus 25 to plus 32. So that is phenomenally strong. In the tops of cycles before, normally this gets to about plus 16 or plus 17. So that's running double where it's been at the tops of economic cycles in previous periods. Business confidence the previous month was revised up from plus 15 to plus 17, and the current month plus 26. So they're also very, very confident about the future. They're also reporting some price pressure and also something which is becoming consistent across more industry categories, extreme difficulty getting labour. So they're finding it very, very difficult to find labour at the moment. And so this is becoming more and more of an issue. Brings us to the federal budget. The federal budget was a free spending affair, as was expected. The previous year's budget, which started, this is going back to the 2020-21 financial year, the one we're not quite out of yet. The budget deficit for this financial year that we're just about finishing, was at budget time last year expected to be over $200 billion. It came in at just over $160 billion, or will come in around about $160 billion, so about $50 billion better than expected. The 2021-22 budget will come in around about $105 billion, but if it hadn't been for the spending which is coming through the budget, it would have been down around about the $70 billion mark. This has been a pretty free spending budget on a lot of areas that sort of politically important to the government, and one or two of them which will help with economic reforms as well. The ones that will help with economic reforms are the money that's being spent for things like childcare. That will help many women to work more hours or to find their way back into the workforce, so lift the female participation rate further. So that is genuinely helpful. Some of it is socially necessary, so the $17-odd billion to be spent over the next four financial years in aged care, all of that's pretty helpful. We've got extensions to things like the investment allowance, that will help business investment spending, which is already starting to show some signs of lift. And the tax concession was an extension for the low and middle income tax offset, which effectively lifts the tax-free threshold for many low to middle income workers. So basically, the federal budget, free spending is adding more to the budget deficits over the course of the next few years. In fact, we'll be running budget deficits for a long time to come. The argument is we can afford to do it because interest rates are very low. So the fact that we'll be running net debt up to $1 trillion over the next few years really doesn't matter because the servicing of that is low. Well, perhaps. The problem is that it all depends on whether the inflation forecasts of both Treasury and the Reserve Bank are right. And there's a problem there in that as far as they're concerned, inflation is a wage affair and wages are going to hold down, they think, over the course of the next few years. Well, they may not. We may get some pressure running through wages, particularly in some of the sectors which are under extreme strain at the moment and can't find labour. So that's one problem. Second problem is inflation may not just be a wage affair. And there's a real chance that a lot of household savings and household savings built up with a lot of those government spending initiatives that we had last year, there's about $130 billion of extra household savings. If that's unleashed, that's a lot of demand going into a fairly constrained economy in terms of supply. And so that in turn can lift prices. So watching all this with some care, we've got a booming economy which will be growing well above 4% over the course of the next couple of financial years. And we're pouring petrol on it, effectively, with both very low interest rates persisting, according to the Reserve Bank, and with an additional dose of fiscal spending. So that's where the risk lies. And strain is going to be in the bond market. And so particularly that part that's not controlled by the Reserve Bank, from time to time, there will be some upward pressure on rates there. And there's a real risk at some point that the Reserve Bank has to change their thinking about rates. And still think that's out in late 2022 sometime, but the risk is there. We also get May Westpac consumer sentiment this week coming out, and that's probably going to show some... that's due out this week. The other things we've got out this week are we've got the minutes of the last RBA meeting, which will just reconfirm, you know, their guidance on rates and their thinking running into the budget. We've also got first quarter wage price index. Going back to Q4 last year, even then, there was a bit of a surprise on wages. Wages grew about double what the market expected, 0.6% quarter on quarter. And the annual rate of wages growth is still very low at 1.4%. The market expects 0.5% for Q1, and that would hold the annual wages growth at around about 1.4%. It'll just be interesting to watch. I think it's still a bit early to expect too much pressure to run through wages, but I do think it's going to happen a lot earlier than the Reserve Bank is thinking. The Westpac Consumer Sentiment Survey also comes out on Wednesday. This is for the month of May. It was taken after the budget. It was already at a very high level before the budget. Going back to April, it rose by 6.2% month on month. It would not surprise to see another rise in the Consumer Sentiment Survey in the wake of the budget. And then on Thursday, we have labour force data. Worth watching because this is the first month which will have some reflection of the end of the JobKeeper program. And the way things are looking now is we're likely to get a rise in employment still. If you went back 4 weeks ago, you know, the official forecasters were all saying, oh no, you're going to get a pullback in employment. And it's probably over a couple of months going to be 150,000 pullback over a couple of months. Well, now that's changed completely. And the April employment forecast is we'll get another 15,000 lift in employment. That was after the 70,700 lift the month before. If the participation rate stays at its record high, the unemployment rate will be around 5.5, 5.6%. It was 5.6% going back the month before. But these will be watched to show the strength that's running through the labour market at present. We also get preliminary April retail trade numbers coming out on Thursday too. Going back to March, retail trade lifted 1.4%. The few people who forecast this one are looking around about 0.8, 0.9% increase for the month of April. And finally, just looking to Europe, and you know, the data releases there, particularly the sentiment ones, have been extremely strong. We had the May Centix Investor Confidence Survey came out, and it was at plus 13.1. This is a diffusion index, optimists versus pessimists, so that's pretty strong. You know, zeros expansion, or where you've got equal numbers of pessimists relative to optimists. So plus 13.1 means you've got an excess of people who are pretty optimistic about the future. It was at plus 13.1. It's expected to go to plus 14. It went to plus 21. So quite a surge running through that particular index. Also, the ZEW Economic Sentiment Survey for May, which was at 66.3, was expected to perhaps hit 70, went up to 84. So the leading indicators in Europe are really starting to soar now. And this is an indication that, you know, they're becoming more optimistic as restrictions start to peel back in Europe. Some of the fiscal spending and policy initiatives there too are sort of helping economies to start to pick up from what has been a double dip recession in Europe. And talking about double dip recession, you know, this week we'd get a revision of Q1 GDP. The first read of GDP in Europe was minus 0.6% quarter on quarter, minus 1.8% year on year. That's expected to be roughly unchanged. We have their April CPI coming out, which will bear watching on Wednesday, because inflation numbers have been edging rather higher in many places. And it was 0.9% month on month going back to March, and that gave an annual rate of 1.6%. It's expected to be around 0.6%, up 1.6%, but if it's any higher than that, it will just be adding to those worries. I think one thing that we'll need to watch very much now is the way in which inflation numbers run in many countries. And so watching with some care just the CPI out of Europe. Don't often look at it much, but in the wake of what happened in the United States with their numbers, just watching that's becoming rather more important. For the most part, we still haven't got enough in the interest rate structure to really worry risk assets when you've got economies which are booming along the way they are. You get odd setbacks from time to time and then recoveries. But it's going to be a tussle over the course of the next few months where the fear of higher interest rates is going to come into play, and we're going to see it mostly played out in the parts of the yield curve which are not influenced by central banks. So it's going to be in the longer term bond yields, and in our case, of course, that's 3 years and outwards.